Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners. The most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Welcome to it.
Really? We're back?
We're back.
Okay, we have a guest today. One of our newest higher-level tactical instructors, as well as range safety officer, Bob Prowse, retired captain from...
Passaic County.
Passaic County, also a Marine veteran.
Yes,
welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you've been with us about 6 months now,
Since
think?
Since August, yeah.
August, yeah, I'm pretty close.
A little closer to September, the month,
Bob. How do you like it here so far?
This is like a kid walking into FAO Schwartz for me, you know. I've always been a gun guy, so I love this. This isn't work. This is
Now you're getting close to our age bracket here since you're retired and everything.
Decrepit. That would be decrepit.
What do you think of the eclectic group of people that walk through these doors on any given day?
Oh, it's the whole spectrum. We have a little bit of everybody that comes through here. But that's what makes this place.
You know? And you remember when you were a young guy, the entire place was, any place you'd go was all white guys, old white guys.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, you know, mostly rednecks, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
As close as you could get to rednecks in New Jersey.
Exactly.
It's really amazing, you know, in 7 or 8 months that you've been with us, you know, you probably came in contact with 100,000 people. And how many people would you say you didn't like, right? Less than five?
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, the atmosphere is great.
And that's what we pride ourselves in doing.
And that's the gun culture that everybody talks about, how negative the gun culture is. You know, those people who cling to their guns and their Bibles, and they're so dangerous to be around. I mean, they're all so dangerous to be around that we have to make sure we keep them.
But look what you're doing every day. When you work here during the week as an RSO, how many people are you breaking that stereotype with?
Oh, a lot.
That walked through the door that thought that they were going to walk into a biker bar. And how many people had this, you know, from watching movies, they think you just pick the gun up, squeeze the trigger, and it goes right in the bullseye, wherever you will it to go, right?
Right, right. You explain to them, you know, the guns are not going to throw you through the window, you know.
Like on TV.
Exactly, because that's what they expect. You
sure.
Know? Once they get over that initial fear, they're like, oh, wow, I didn't realize it was, you know, this good and this much fun and we'll be back, you know.
Right.
It's just a good group of people.
What about the body language, male or female? They walk in with that closed body language. Yep. The knuckles are white, right? And then I talk about it all the time, how the women are walking down the hallway going, yes, and they're holding their targets up, right?
Oh, yeah. I get them in the port, and I tell them after they start shooting, because I'll tell you, the women shoot way better than the men.
We've always said that.
And I tell them, all right, I'll get them to the side. I said, listen, start betting them for new shoes. Get a new purse out.
Get dinner tonight. Yeah.
And it's just a great feeling. And again, if those people, being a Second Amendment advocate for many, many years, if those people leave the range, even neutral, we've won.
Absolutely.
You know, if half of them leave and never touch a gun again, but they see that we don't fit that stereotype, that we're all bubbas and it's racist and it's sexist and it's dirty and, you know, you don't spit tobacco at the customers, do you, Bob?
No, he
doesn't chew anyway, not that I've seen, or dip or whatever they call it. I'm probably the most disgusting one here because I smoke cigars, but I stay away from
the customers.
Is that
the reason? There's other
reasons, too. But that's our job here, is not only to educate people, but to have them walk out and change their perception of the firearms industry, because we're going to win them over little at a time.
Right.
When there's another tragedy and they're in front of the water cooler and a couple of the girls are like, oh, I'm freaking hillbillies with their guns, that girl that came in contact with Bob for an hour with her husband or girlfriend, they're going to say, wait a minute. I went, this guy was a retired cop. He was a Marine veteran. He spent his time with us. We're real people. You're married. You have kids. Like, it's always the faceless. You know, where the face of the gun owner is. We're this mean. My Bible's in one hand. My gun is in the other hand. And that's all we give a shit about, you know.
Yeah, and we're going to take over a federal building somewhere.
Right.
And
my militia guys that want to take over the government.
Well,
right.
I'm not fully opposed to a lot of those tactics. What was it? Jefferson said that the tree of liberty needs to be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots.
And tyrants.
It's natural fertilizer.
Yeah. That's correct.
And I think it's been a long time in this country since we've had any kind of backlash.
Well,
or
let's not get too deeply involved in that discussion.
I'm not. I'm just saying.
I can hear the zip line right now.
I don't have to. You're the one that talks all the time about the marginal tax rate.
Yeah.
You know, at what point, like the French Revolution and stuff, when we're up to a 90% marginal tax rate, people are going to have a backlash.
Right.
You know,
it's going to happen overnight.
I want to see something in my paycheck.
Right.
I don't want to hear stories anymore.
Right.
We deal with this all the time. You know, we have the evil cops that paid into their pension, and then the government stole all the money out of it to build the Revel Casino, right. And now we want to take their money out of their pensions.
Yeah, to make up for the shortfall.
Yes, where if we told the cops, if we let the cops put it in a 401k plan 25 years ago, and it was their own money, they could actually do what they want with their money.
Ooh,
boy,
shit,
well, now, that makes sense.
What a novel idea that would be.
You know, so you're evil cops, because you work 25 years, and it was your money. Of course, there was contributory money in there too, but
just give me my money back. That's all.
That's
all they're saying. Give me my money back. The stuff I put in there that disappeared. That's all I want.
Right.
So I hear that shit all the time.
Yeah,
you know, and that really pisses me off. I wouldn't want his job making life or death decisions every day.
No way.
Every time you go out, you don't know if one of your guys are going to get you in jam or somebody on the street. And you were a captain. You know.
Right.
Yeah, I was a commander of a 26-man SWAT team, so I was responsible for those guys every time we rolled through a door. You know?
Right.
So, you know, it weighs heavy on you, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. It was a fantastic job. I met great people. I have friends for life. But, you know, there's always that downside. You know?
Yeah, you're dealing with the flotsam and jetsam of society all the time.
Exactly. And, you know, you talk about, you know, you see our veterans come back. They got, you know, post-traumatic stress.
Right.
As a cop, sometimes you end up with that, too. You know,
sure.
Because you're dealing with so much every day.
Yeah, but then
you can't help it. You carry it home with you.
And if you go to get help, you could lose your job.
You could lose your right to carry.
Yes.
You could lose your job.
That's the problems, the conflicts. But now, as a commander of 26-man SWAT team, the good thing is, with your guys at that level, you really minimize the knucklehead factor, because these are guys that want to be there and they're working hard to be there to do it. You know what I mean? I mean, unless one of your guys was a political appointee, you know, Bob, you're making my cousin Joe Baba, you know, one of your entry team guys, you know. But if these are guys that work for, I like to call them snake eaters, you know, you guys worked up to that level, you know, you have a solid team that's going to watch your back.
Absolutely. 100%. I was fortunate enough. I had a really great group of guys that, you know, we used to make it like the NFL draft. We only wanted the best.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, that's good.
And you would see
you're
that
trusting
guy,
your life to that guy.
Right. And everybody would come and try out. And there were other people that they just, because of the standards were so hard, they wouldn't even come. You know, they wouldn't even show up at the door. So we really got the best of the best there.
We're going to talk more about that when we come back.
For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappin.com or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Nappin, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at LipstickBodyguard.com.
And this segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic, WALDORFCHIRO.com. Waldorf Family Chiropractic is conveniently located in Bridgewater, New Jersey. We found out that he does perform atomic wedgies.
Yes, he does.
On last week's show, James Hedham, Dr. Waldorf mistook his T-shirt, his underwear for his T-shirt, and tried to pull his T-shirt out from under his waistband, but it was actually his boxer shorts. And James Hedham is now on Broadway singing the falsetto role for Frankie Valli and Jersey Boys.
Yes, doing very well.
Thank you, Doc. So Waldorf Chiropractic, conveniently located in Bridgewater, New Jersey. Support those who support us. So, Bob, a tight team, 26 guys. Now, I've been around a while, and I know of SWAT teams in other towns where they were forced to take political appointees, like the mayor's retarded nephew had to be on the entry team.
That's true.
And, you know, the other guys, the dissension it forms is tremendous, you know. Basically, they make them like the equipment manager. You know what I mean? Everybody else is breaching doors, and this guy is making sure everybody's got fresh jock straps.
Right, right.
So, and that really sucks, right?
Unless
for morale.
You sent him out, he's the point man. He can breach the door once.
Yeah, listen, that happens, and that'll destroy morale. Because, you know, you have somebody that doesn't deserve to be there.
You're working your ass off, and then all of a sudden somebody gets pushed in.
It's all about trust.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about working next to that guy, you know, next year. And we did everything together. You know, our wives knew each other.
Right,
we
sure. Would,
it's the way it has to be.
It's a family.
We broke bread together.
It has to be that way. It has to be one unit. There's that we call that synergy, you know? I talk about it like you see how retail is on a Saturday. It's like synchronized swimming. You got everybody's right footed, and then you hire somebody who's a left foot, they're never going to work. And it's the same thing. You know that. You were in the military. There's, you know, if you got that one guy that's always a thorn in your side, it can't work. Now, Bob has, because he's have his credentials, we started him here RSOing, and he's been helping out Jimmy with the civilian classes, and now he's kicked up a total notch. He's involved with Tony Bones and John Uzzolino with all of our urban classes, and we've reintroduced at our sheepdog level, which if you don't get the sheepdog emails, you're not going to get the sheepdog emails till we think you're ready, so don't even email me for it. But we're starting to do force-on-force training again. And it's by a company called UTM, makes the ammo. And Bob, you just ran a force on force, and you took heart rates and everything. And we had a group of about 10 guys, right?
Yes. Yeah, it was close to 10, yeah. I believe. Right?
How'd it go? Give us some highlights on that. Anybody? How many pooped the bed?
Just about everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you're getting shot
it's
at
classic,
everything.
Isn't it? What, yeah, it all changes.
Wait, we talk about Clint Smith. Incoming fire has the right of way. Okay? Always remember that quote.
Expression.
Clint Smith is a protege of Colonel Jeff Cooper,
yeah.
And I attended Cooper's one of his last classes before he retired. But incoming fire has the right of way. So tell us, Bob, how did they handle the incoming fire?
I got to remember that.
You know, I like to tell them, and I just told them last night, I said, everybody's got a great plan until you get punched in the face. You know,
right.
And then everything goes out the window.
So
you know?
True.
Exactly
right.
So when you are getting... People are shooting back at you. It does change that level.
Because the paper target don't shoot back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you can get in a port and practice, and that's important. But force on force, you can't beat it.
The best guys I like to see are the guys like the IPSC guys and the IDPA guys who are coming. They're and well, you know, I'm a champion IDPA. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the steel don't shoot back at you normally.
Like we've seen on force, guys draw their gun at a holster and throw them across the room.
Yeah. Oh yes.
The gun go flying right past the bad guy.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
And we actually had a young gentleman in here last night. He's like 16 years old. What a squared away guy.
Wow.
Oh, what a, he's got a
well, you know, they get nerves of
Johnny,
steel.
Johnny D. Jr., oh, him and his father. His father's a doctor.
Yep, very impressed by him. Very impressed. He did better than the guys twice his age.
He took our Camp 50. He slept here on the range floor on a weekend.
Junior did it last year.
Junior.
Wow.
With fear. And his father had to stay as a chaperone for him because he was a minor. But he did. We hosed him down outside and everything. He did it. But after the class, the post debriefing, after that, how many people were like, oh shit, I'm shit, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And they were real. I appreciate their honesty because they said it just like you just said. You know, I said, wow, you know, I didn't realize how bad we were. It's really opened my eyes. Yeah. And it makes me think.
Right.
And I love to hear them say that because I always remind them, you know, force on force or movement, because we do some movement through the rooms and stuff. Just like shooting, it's a perishable skill. If you're not in there doing it's going to go out the window.
Sure.
It's going to go away. You have to do it.
You have to the trigger pull, because it all boils down to large muscle memory.
Absolutely.
Because all your fine motor skills are gone.
Motor skills go.
Right?
Exactly.
It's everything's gone.
Yep.
And, so, you know, it's
it was just awesome. It's awesome to see in the beginning, and then towards the end, you know, you watch that light bulb go on. It's
right.
Like flipping that switch
right.
And then they start moving and you say, "Okay, now we got it." You
right.
know. And we put them in some situations that are kind of hairy. I don't like ever putting anybody in a no-win situation. We don't just go in there and blast them up. They're not going to get anything from that.
Sure.
So you want to put them in a situation that's realistic. And I start telling them, start getting into that combat mindset. Start getting into that. Walk around in condition orange. Don't walk around in condition white.
You know, head and ass disease.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know, don't have your blinders on. You know, if you're right-handed, don't carry your groceries in your right hand.
Right.
When you go to the car. Don't keep your car keys in your right hand. You know.
Right.
Just the little things. Have a plan with your family. If somebody, you know, most home invasions happen at home. I tell them.
Right.
You know,
so, yeah.
Let's have a plan to do something here.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
You may be clearing your house with your son or your wife, and. You know, you get a little chuckle, and then they say, you see it in their
you
eyes.
You see it
say,
start to register. Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, I clear my house in my boxer shorts with a gun belt on. And they all start laughing, but it's the guy's
It's real.
Truth,
yeah, because you have to. That's how you have to train. You have to train the way you're going to fight.
Right. In 92, when I went to Lethal Force Institute, one with Ayub, he used to sleep and next to his bed, he had wolf ears, which were the precursor to pro ears and peltor, because they were binaural. You could tell which direction the sound came from.
Uh-huh.
And it amplified anything under 70 decibels, and it attenuated anything above 70. But he had that, a bulletproof vest, and a duty belt on the floor next to his bed. Well, he retired as a police captain, as deputy chief from Grantham, New Hampshire. But he used to talk about it, you know, you need to be prepared. So Bob in his boxer shorts with a rig on, that's fine, because where are you going to put all your shit?
That's exactly right.
I think in Knappen, too, with his... Knappen's got night vision goggles on his bedstead.
From Silence of the Lambs.
It's like unbelievable. He's got his own torture chamber, I think, in his man cave somewhere, but...
You know, I think it's the little things that they take for granted. And I tell them, you know, if you confront somebody in your house and they're not shootable, you may have to go hands-on with this guy.
Right.
You can't hand your gun off to somebody.
Right.
You might have to holster that thing and you don't want him getting it. You know?
Right, right, exactly.
There's a gun there because you brought one there.
Yes,
so
exactly. Yeah, now all of a sudden a gun showed up.
Exactly.
Yeah, it wasn't a gunfight until now. Well, it's interesting. When we come back, I'll tell you a story about when I first met him.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers in each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports, so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have, because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right, we have two smaller classrooms. And those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family, so the bathrooms are very high-end. We used marble and Corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
Freedom.
No rules, no apologies, no holding back. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 4 years running.
And this segment is brought to you by Montville Executive Suites, MontvilleOffice.com. Ron Sousa has 38 furnished private offices, telephone answering, mail receiving, forwarding, meeting rooms, and the ability to hold seminars and events for up to 70 people. Visit MontvilleOffice.com. Let Ron Sousa know that you appreciate all everything he does for the 2A community here. If you have a business, get out of your mom's basement. Stop using her electricity. Stop going to the local coffee shop and taking up space
Starbucks
and looking at me when
office.
I come in to buy a cup of coffee. I see the same people there every day. I want to get a life stickers and put them on people as I'm walking by. It pisses me off.
Now,
Ron is gracious. Citizens for Safer New Jersey are going to be having a seminar there later in February that I'll be speaking at. And remember, save the date. July 30th will be the New Jersey SafeCon, and it'll be at the Parsippany Hilton. But there will be two lawyers, Evan Knapp and another lawyer, giving college credit courses, CLE credits for all you lawyers out there. And that'll be located at Montville Executive Suites, Ron Sousa's place. He's volunteering it again for free. By the way, while we're talking about lawyers, they're actually using, in Columbia University, they're actually using lawyers now instead of rats for AIDS testing.
Well, there are some things you can't because get they, rats yeah, to
well,
do.
Well, they found out there's certain things even rats won't do. So they're using lawyers now, which is nice, you know.
It's
so
it's
all your lawyers out there, take it. So, Sandy, you want to share your story with Bob?
Well,
I like Bob's quote before, most home invasions happen in the home.
Exactly. That's what got me to think about that.
You better learn that.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Sandy.
When I first met
your story.
And we met because I came to him for training for a book that I was writing.
Big mistake.
Ruined my life, this frigging guy. So I took I took the classes right from the beginning, right up through instructor level on out. When I was done, we graduated, what, that Sunday?
Yes.
Monday morning, it was mid-February. I have a broadcast studio inside my house, and which is completely isolated from the rest of the house. For whatever reason, I just happened to be on my way through into the main house, and I hear this pounding on my front door. Okay, what the hell's going on here? Prior to that training, I would have just gone and opened the door like, what the hell's going on here? But before I reach, go back into my studio, grab my little snubby, put it into my pocket, and walk down to the door, and I'm like, who's there? Because I can't see through the door. And all I hear is this kid mumbling. Put my foot by the door, crack the door open. I'm looking through the door. It's this little young guy standing there, hip hop looking sort of stuff. Now it's mid-February. This kid's got no jacket on. look in the driveway. I've got about a 900-foot driveway, and there's a car sitting there. I would have normally just walked out. Prior to that, prior to taking any of the awareness training, like you say, walking around in condition white all the time, but just normally I live surrounded by farmland. What's this guy doing here? Never would have clicked. All of a sudden, I become confrontational with him, and he takes off, jumps over the hedges, gets in his car, goes screaming out of the driveway. I call police headquarters, and I just tip them off to what's going on. 2 hours later, one of the duty officers in town comes by, and he said, holds up a picture. Does this look like the kid who was here? I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, it does. Yeah, he just did two hot home invasions around the corner, and we caught them. It's part of a gang that's going, it's MS-13.
There you go.
So he's like, yeah, they're on the, you're lucky, he said, because there were two more out here. That's their MO. The one knocks on the door. If you don't answer the door, they just kick the door in.
Right.
If you do answer the door, they lure you outside, and the two on the sides of the house are jumping you.
Right. Right.
It's just never, ever would have known prior to the, and it's like that, it's the Maslowian hierarchy, right? Maslow always had this way of
Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Look it up.
Yeah, and if you've, and this one is
I want to be loved.
Maslow's awareness hierarchy is, the first one is you basically don't know what you don't know. And that's the level that I was when I came to meet Anthony. When I left, I had that level of conscious competence, is unconscious incompetence, where you don't know what you don't know. Conscious incompetence when I first met him then, and he said, here's all this shit you have to be aware of. And you're like, oh my God, really? Really? I have to sit here? I have to do that? I have to look for this? That could happen. This could happen. But I live out in the woods. And then it actually happens. And you realize that at that point,
you're not alone anymore.
Yes.
It doesn't matter where
you're not alone anymore.
Look at me. I'm a fat old civilian maggot. The guy touched me in Newark Airport. I took him right down to the ground with an arm bar and held him until the TSA cops came.
Right.
Just because of a little training having awareness.
Right. And being able to react instantly.
Because I knew what I already
knew where it was going.
Three steps ahead what I was going to do.
Exactly.
Because I knew where it was going to go.
Right.
We tell people this all the time, normalcy bias. Trust your sixth sense.
Right.
If it doesn't feel right, it's not right. Don't walk into it.
Right.
Don't turn your head and look away and think he's going to disappear. He's
not happening.
Right. You know? Or if something loud noise happens behind you, don't ignore it.
Right.
Or if somebody's yelling behind you, don't ignore it.
If your dog's barking at night.
Right.
We talk about that.
Barking for a reason.
Bob, my ex-wife, 3 o'clock in the morning, dog's barking. She's telling the dog to shut up. I'm telling her to shut up.
Yeah.
Why is the dog? I go out. There's a car parked in front of my house. The guy's texting, but the car's running. My dog's letting me know it. He's doing his job.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
It happens all the time with that. So Sandy's a doctor, and unbeknownst to him, Jimmy brought him a notebook today and showed him the blood pressure readings.
Oh,
and he didn't tell Sandy what they were from, but Sandy said whoever's readings they were, they should go get medical treatment immediately. Tell us a little bit about that.
I told a few of them, go to the hospital. I think you might have a stroke.
You need to go now. Yeah.
Resting heart rate?
We did resting heart rate. When they first walked in, they weren't prepared for what was going to happen. So
it was still
going
to be a little elevated because they know
something's coming. Exactly. So we sat them down and we took those blood pressures, okay? Then what we did is we ran them through scenarios. We didn't even critique it with them. The minute they were done with the scenario, they ran right to the doc and they got their pressure done again. And it was unbelievable, the spikes. You know, you started to see them really
And you could see some of them, too. What was kind of interesting, too, is there were some of them that you could absolutely see stress. You know, you could, because once you get that shot of adrenaline, but that adrenaline then wears off, and then these guys become shaky, and that's something that, you know, you saw at Ayub, right? When
I got hit with the EpiPen?
Yeah, when they hit you with an EpiPen, and it literally, it mimics exactly what's going to happen.
That's
later on. Your hands are shaking.
Right.
Yeah.
It hits you with an EpiPen, and you got to run a course of fire.
Oh, man.
LFI-3, you go with your whole rig set up. This is a long time ago.
And they draw
your
blood.
And they tie your They draw 1 pint of blood from you, and they tie your strong arm to your belt, and he kicks you in the ass, and you have to go shoot the course of fire weak-handed. everybody threw up. You lose a pint of blood,
right,
and you're running around adrenaline.
And you can't breathe.
I threw up.
You got no more breath left.
I shot a 300 out of a 300 right-handed, and after going donated blood, I shot a 220. I was one of three guys that shot over 200 on the course of fire. I don't know, there before the grace of God, only because I shoot with my left hand a lot.
All the time, yeah.
But it's interesting. So you see these guys peaking. Now, this isn't even, these guys don't even realize this isn't the real shit. Imagine if you had a blood pressure monitor on you and you're ready to breach a door. Not only that, but you were a commander.
Right.
Not only are you responsible for yourself, but not only are you responsible for the people on the other side of the door, you're responsible for your 26 guys.
Right.
And you have a wife and kids at home that you'd like to go get home to.
Yeah.
What do you think your blood pressure was at that moment?
I take medication now because of the years. I'm on Azor now, as a matter of fact.
People don't understand what happens. Like the scenario we do in the early urban courses, holding the gun out for an unset amount of time.
Right.
The average response time is 11 minutes.
Right.
You have to hold that gun out.
Right.
Now, when the cops come, like Bob says, you brought the gun to the gunfight.
Right.
What do you do with the gun when you answer the door with the cops? There's so much shit. That's what we cover in all of these courses. And the force on force. Bob, another question is, how many people realize that they need a 100-round magazine after going through the force on force?
Well, you know what? They realized they didn't need a 100-round magazine, basically, you know, because it was probably over in about 4 or 5 rounds.
Yes.
Every scenario, you know, if that.
It's done in seconds.
You know. And the funny part is, you know, we do the one drill where we have the role player just walking up on them, you know, and telling them, what do you want, what do you want? And they start to back up, and they don't know what to do. They basically really shit the bed there. And my question to him is, when does this guy become shootable? There is no sane person in the world, if I'm standing there holding a gun on him, that's going to advance on me.
Right.
The only reason he's advancing on you is because he's trying to hurt you. And he's
going
to try and disarm you.
Right.
So you need to make a decision. You know, you're in your home, and this guy's advancing on you.
Right.
When does it become shootable?
Yeah, and you've got a gun on him.
Yeah,
right?
And he's coming towards you. So what are his intentions? You know, there's nothing good going to happen.
No,
there.
Exactly. It doesn't play out well.
Jimmy was the role player, and he actually got close enough to disarm some of
these
guys.
Oh, my God. Wow.
You know, not only disarm him, but cause malfunctions on the handgun. And
yeah, push the slide out of battery.
Right, absolutely. Right, sure.
It's like the cartoons where you put your finger in the barrel.
Exactly.
I've been telling people that for years. If I could, I have more upper body strength than a female. If I grab her Glock and slide the slide back a 16th of an inch out of battery, you're my bitch.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
I could do it with a revolver, too. I can stop the cylinder from spinning.
Exactly, sure, yeah.
On a revolver.
Exactly.
I mean, and you're not going to have enough leverage to squeeze that trigger to get that revolver to spin to index to the next round. There's just so much shit that could go wrong. But you don't know how to react.
Exactly.
And then how many guys left with welts?
Oh, everybody including us.
Yes. There's a pain penalty.
Yeah,
you have to be afraid
right.
to get hit with that UTM round, otherwise you're not going to take it serious.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll see guys without the UTM walk around blind corners, and then once you get hit a couple times, you're pieing out in those corners. You don't want to get hit anymore.
That'll fix it.
That kind of hurts a little bit. All right, we're coming right back. Everything I do gonna be funky from now on. Time and memories, the two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices, no interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day. And perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
This segment is brought to you by Philadelphia Firearms Training, PhillyGunTraining.com. Jose Morales
is located.
Yes, Jose is the man. I met Jose many years ago. became an NRA instructor with me, became an NRA training counselor.
I remember the day we went to go train Jose.
Remember that? Right, yeah. And we team taught a bunch of times, and now he opened his own place down in Philly, and he does the Utah carry. He has Lipstick Bodyguard there. All the NRA classes, self-defense classes, just a great guy. He built a beautiful boutique place right around the corner from the gun range.
Yeah.
And right across the street from the police department in Philly proper that issues the carry permits.
Can't get any more convenient than that. Yeah.
And don't be a Shanine Allen, although we love her. When you go to get your permit, stop and see Jose, and no charge, he'll review the laws with you. And it wouldn't hurt you to take a lesson or two and maybe learn something.
Right.
So, Bob, you guys, I know Mike Resinetti from Extreme Cycles heard me talk about 1,000-yard shooting, and I sent him an FU-type email, but we've just secured a range where we're going to be doing some more precision rifle shooting, and these guys got to go there and test it. I paid them for the day to go play on a 1,000-yard range.
No shit, there's a 1,000-yard range local?
It's about one of the best days of his life. I love it.
I had so much fun.
What, Jeff, a Navy SEAL was your instructor?
Yeah,
what were we shooting?
He was the man. We had our own rifles.
Oh, you brought
your own. I was a sniper on the team, so I had my own rifle. And let me tell you something. I was a sniper for a pretty long time. I went to FBI sniper school, but this guy, Eli, he's a Navy SEAL sniper instructor. I was like a sponge all day.
Say no
long.
More. Sure.
He's such a low-key, humble man. I mean, just an awesome guy. Learned so much that day.
That's our second Navy SEAL because John Uzzolino, his dad, is a Navy SEAL.
Tom is.
Yeah, he worked here part-time as an RSO, but he finally retired. But it's funny, you know, he says the best day of his life. And how old are you, Bob?
52.
He's 52 years old and still receptive to learning, and that's what makes us great instructors.
Exactly right. I mean, you can't do what you do without learning every
Correct.
Day.
Correct. I read every day. I'm constantly reading other people's shit. I listen to what he says. Everybody says.
Sure.
And nobody is beneath me. I'm Anthony. I own Gun for Hire. Bob Prowse can't teach me shit. Are you kidding me? I could hear him talking to a woman while I'm passing him in a range, and I hear him say something like, I like that one. Everybody should be able to learn. There's no one dogmatic or best way. This guy's a Marine, and he's letting a Navy man teach him sniper skills, okay? Now, 30 years ago, that might not have played well with him because right out of Marine Corps full of piss and vinegar, they build that fraternity, and the other branches of the service are TRAFE or whatever. But we never stop learning. And one of the things we're blessed with, Bob, and you're going to agree with me here, you've taught basic classes, and now with the UTM, you're teaching advanced classes. Our students that come to us are coming of their own free will, and they want to learn. Are they not a pleasure to work with?
Oh, I love working with them. It is such a pleasure. I mean, I've worked with law enforcement guys.
But you've also worked with law enforcement guys that didn't want to train.
They're there because they're being paid to be there.
Right?
Exactly.
It's a big difference.
And I'm not trying to kick law enforcement at all, but you have guys, they don't want to be there. They're sent there because of chief.
The CO said,
Is it any different than someone going every 2 years to renew their CPR? I had to do it for the past 25 years. I hate it. I'd rather rub glass in my eye.
You're really not learning anything.
But if you got an instructor who's rescued two or three people for real, I'd be interested in that CPR class rather than the rescue Annie.
Right. Just to hear the stories.
If this guy or girl is telling me those stories,
right.
That's where the jewels of knowledge come in.
Sure.
Okay? So that's where you should be paying me to be here is what I tell all of my instructors. Because you're not here. Like the guys that took that class, like their wives didn't send them here and they couldn't buy a gun unless they took that class and they're here begrudgingly. Those guys are here because they want to learn everything and they don't want the class to end.
Right. They're there in their time. They're spending their money. They come out and they're so gung ho and so open to learning. Their minds are so open. And I love it. At the end of the night, I thank them. I thank them for coming and doing what they do.
Mm-hmm. You know, which is great.
Which is because they're just fantastic people. And every class that I've ever taught, and especially now with civilians, I learn something new every day from them.
Me too.
You know, so it's always a learning curve.
What are some of the things that you...
The way they'll operate, and they'll bring certain points up, and you'll say, you know what, that was a good idea.
Right.
You know, and you just incorporate that in now. Like, there's certain things that'll stick with you, and you say that.
And you start to see things that... You don't expect going wrong because now it's real life.
Right.
And you have real people who have really no training.
Exactly.
We talk about when you become an NRA instructor, the known to unknown, simple to complex. And we're always looking for stuff like rifling of a barrel. When we tell people it's from the beginning of the James Bond movie, the rifling, everybody known to unknown. Oh, the light goes on. But then the NRA tells you to get a Nerf football and throw it with a spiral and throw it without a spiral and show your students how rifling makes a bullet lay flat. And the light bulbs go off. I told Sandy this story once. I had a shotgun class, NRA shotgun class, and I had a woman in a class in her 60s. She found out her girlfriends were skeet and trap shooting, and she wanted to get an edge. She wanted to learn before she went out with them. So I have the class. I got a couple of guys your age, a couple of younger guys, and this 60-year-old woman, and she asked the stupidest questions during the four-hour class, which were the best questions because she had no background at all. And everything that she asked just made light bulbs go off on me. I was writing shit down because I'm like, this is stuff that needs to be addressed. So we get to third chapter in NRA basic shotgun, or first step shotgun, and I'm explaining how muzzles work, how you can have a choke, how chokes work, open choke, modified choke, et cetera, et cetera, and how it changes the spray pattern. And she raises her hand and she says to me, she goes, like a garden hose?
Wow.
And I was like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, you don't think of that.
That was it for me. Now when I explain how chokes work on a shotgun, like a garden hose, you can have a tight stream, it's going to go 15 feet. As you open it up, you're losing distance.
And people instantly know what you're talking
about.
Right.
Correct, correct. You know? A known to unknown. And here's a 62-year-old woman, never even held a shotgun in her life, gave me that change. And every instructor class we have, I give it to all my students because I want them to share the same thing.
You want to share that knowledge.
And that's what we do. Now, where did I learn that from? I learned that from a 62-year-old woman with no gun experience. She put something, another arrow in my quiver that the other guy doesn't have.
Tool in that toolbox. You know, look, I'm from the adage that if you think you know everything, you better get ready for somebody to put your head on a spike.
You
never stop learning. I go every year. We talk. I went down to TAC Response this summer and shot a rifle course. Not because I don't know how to shoot a rifle. I've been shooting them for years, but you always want to keep that sword sharp.
Right, just know? That so, one. You're looking for that. You know, life is all about, winning is all about that slight edge.
Yeah.
And only the pros know that it's that slight edge that is the difference. It's a horse race, right?
Yep.
You win by a nose.
You know, you're also going to get to meet and work with Masad Ayoub this year when he comes. You definitely have to start paying me.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay? All these guys, Tony, Uzi, Gary Mastrangelo, all the 50-something guys, but the first year Ayoub came, they all brought their dusty old In the Gravest Extremes and the Truth About Self-Protection books out
to be autographed by
Ayoub. Yeah. And I know you have those books home somewhere.
Okay. You know, when I was growing up, he was the guru.
There was no internet. Yeah. That's all we read.
You know, that's right.
I told you, in 91, we signed up to go for his class, and you had a call, and then you had to get a reference from a police chief that you were in good standing, you know? So it said, call for more information. I dial a New Hampshire number, 607, and on the other end, Ayoub. I was like a 14-year-old girl, and Justin Bieber answered the phone. I was like... Is this Masad Ayoub? You know, he's like, yes, Masad Ayoub here. I was like, my guys were with me. There were four of us booking a class. Charlie Padula was one of them. I'm like, it's fucking him on the other end of the phone. I'm like, they're like, well, ask him about if there's four slots in the next class. I'm like, I can't.
Here, you do it.
Yeah, you know what I'm like? So I finally got through it, you know. I was like, holy shit. And then the first day we're up in Concord, New Hampshire, which happened to be right after the Challenger disaster.
Wow.
We're up there. And we're having breakfast in a diner. And there's this dude sitting with his back to the wall in a corner with a blue LFI jacket on eating breakfast. I'm like, guys, that's Masad Ayoub over there. We're like scared. You know what I mean? Because just like Bob said, I've been reading for 10 years every magazine article. I read his book. I mean, this was besides him, because Cooper wasn't so vocal as Ayoub. Cooper was more conservative. That it was the one who was on 60 Minutes in 2020 and, you know, talking about stuff. So I was blown away, man. I mean, like, holy shit, you know, when you meet that guy. So you're going to get to meet him this year. You're paying me that week. All right. Just so you know, I'm going to send you a bill.
It'll be worth it.
It'll be worth it.
Yeah. Just the way he animates everything. And he's good to have around.
Yeah. He's a character. He really is.
Yeah. If I was involved in a shooting, I'd call him up. He's definitely going to come and defend me because he's just good.
There's
to have
nobody who knows. I don't think there's anybody who knows any more about the use of deadly force than him.
No. Prosecutors shit when he walks in the courtroom.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
They're like, oh. Imagine New Jersey walking in with Napping and Ayoub. Okay? You tell him,
the prosecution gets up and leaves.
This is going to be like Gotti's first three trials.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, exactly, right.
Not the fourth one.
The first three were good. Yeah.
Now, Bob, SWAT team training, you're here now. I don't know if you guys know this story that broke 2 days ago, but in San Bernardino, the when the two radicals blew up the people at the occupation, shot everybody up, did you know they were circling around for like 15 minutes?
No.
And then they were circling around.
Beforehand. Like sharks.
Afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't go
afterwards.
Do you know why they were circling around?
I never
Do you know
learned
why?
No.
Because they were trying to detonate the bomb that they left in there to kill all the first responders.
Oh.
And the bomb was poorly made, and the detonation device
didn't
work.
That was the one on the little car
or
whatever?
They were driving closer and closer to the occupational center because they thought it was a signal problem. This just broke yesterday.
No wonder that when they had the response come out, there was so much misinformation flow, which is pretty typical of first reports. But they're going this way. No, they're going this way. Then
Where are they driving?
Where are these people?
They were basically traversing back and forth closer and closer to the center. They knew they were going to die.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But they wanted to get as many casualties as possible.
Of course. Of course. You look at it and you say, there's a mass casualty like Boston again. Get out of the ER because that's where it's probably going to hit. All right. After that, happy days. Coming back.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Crank it up!
So it seems that Disneyland in France has hidden metal detectors in their hotel lobbies, and two French nationals of descent we don't know yet had a briefcase, and briefcase were two handguns, ammo, magazines, and a Koran.
Oh.
And heading into Paris Disneyland. So that's another breaking news story, but... yes,
nothing to see here, folks.
Correct. But in San Bernardino, they were looking for the maximum amount of casualties. That's why some of the training that Bob and them are going over, like civilian response to an active shooter and everything, you don't know what the next thing is going to be.
Right.
You know, the cops can tell you guys to come out with your hands up, and then you all get blown up. We just don't know what...
Right.
The game keeps changing because these people don't care about their own lives. They don't care about, you know, suicide vests, whatever the case may be. See, now, if I was a suicide bomber, when it's my day, I'd call in sick.
Yeah, it would be, yes. I'm not, boss, I'm not feeling too good today.
I got a cold. I'm not coming in.
I got a cold. It's a little bit too much.
I mean, I'm dedicated. I'm not that dedicated.
Exactly right.
No, I'm not. I'm not. So, Bob, all these years you've been on, you've seen a lot of stuff. You talk about home invasions happening at home. What kind of tips would you tell people to prepare for, like in their house or, what should they be aware of, their surroundings? Any jewels of knowledge you want to share with us since this is your premiere? Entrance on the show. This will decide whether you're going to come back or not right now. The next 5 minutes.
No pressure here. Okay. My pressure's on.
The biggest thing I tell people is have a plan. Don't wait for something to happen and then react to it because you're not going to react to it. Have a plan. Discuss it with your family. Have an escape plan. Have your equipment ready. Know where your gear is. Know how to operate your flashlight with your weapon system. Have a good sling on your rifle and make sure you throw it on your body when you start moving around your house, If you don't have a plan, you're in for a world of hurt because nothing's going to come together for you,
Right.
And people look at it and they'll say, my wife, maybe she doesn't want to hear that. Well, make her hear it. You know what I mean?
Do it without her. Do it behind her back. Have a plan set up, and then she'll be thankful later on. You got to do what you have to do.
Like you say, though, sometimes,
women are a liability. I've said that before.
And
out loud?
Yes,
yes,
a lot.
Out loud, yeah.
Well, because not all women. Like, we have the SOAR group. They get it.
Right,
but
they get it.
For every one woman that's not a liability, unfortunately, 99 women are liability.
Correct.
How many times has your wife said, you're stupid, don't worry about it. You're overreacting. How many times have you heard you're overreacting from women? Not necessarily your wife.
You know what? All the time. But I'm really fortunate. My wife is a retired detective sergeant. Yeah, she was with the Fugitive Warrant Squad.
Well, that don't count.
She runs
so
the drills around me.
Her share of doors in too.
Absolutely, she's got her tooth knocked out while
working. You two must be fun at parties.
She got a tooth knocked out while working. You know what kind of street cred that is?
Yeah, oh,
absolutely.
Time.
That's some good shit.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Got her tooth knocked out. I got knocked out by a guy once in my teens fighting him, and then I fought him again 6 months later. That was good for street cred too.
Oh yeah,
because I was either crazy enough or stupid enough to fight him again. Nobody knew, so I pretended I was crazy.
And
it was
the jury's
actually
still
stupid.
Out. Yeah, yeah, it was actually stupid. Yeah.
But that's good street cred there.
Yeah.
Tooth
definitely.
Knocked out. You can't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mess with her.
No, absolutely.
She'll
not.
Elbow me. She's smart. But you know what I'm talking about.
No, absolutely.
How many people do you hear? I tell people I'm the guy that gives smoke detectors and fire extinguishers and mace for Christmas for stocking stuffers,
right.
And I'm considered the family nut.
Yeah, you're a nut
right.
job.
Yeah,
right.
You're.
Okay,
yeah, you're
I'm
the
nut. I would have preferred a box
him,
of chocolate.
Yeah.
Until your kitchen's on fire and you don't have a fire extinguisher.
Right.
And 14 minutes later, the fire department comes to save another foundation.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay?
Go throw the Russell Stovers at that. Yeah.
Correct. Yep. So that's what pisses me off. It's hard to get people on board.
Right.
And I've been saying it for years. Women and children are a liability.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
we know children are a liability because they're supposed to be in condition white.
Right.
You can't grow up in condition yellow or orange.
No.
You can't be battle-hardened at 12 years old like many kids. Most of the time, it was during the rise of socialism that people had to grow up in condition yellow and red.
Pretty much.
And black.
Yeah.
But, I know you want to be prepared. You want to have a plan. I tell people every daylight savings time, you should do a fire drill in your house. You should do an emergency drill in your house.
Right.
You should be changing the batteries in your smoke and carbon monoxide detectors, flashlights. You should be checking your fire extinguishers. These are all such rudimentary things, but most people overlook.
Right. I tell guys, too, on these rifle systems that come in, guys have lights and they have lasers. I tell them when you check your smoke detectors at daylight savings time, change the batteries
and the lights and lasers.
In your optics,
get
fresh batteries.
You forget about it.
Yeah,
you really forget about these
and
things.
And I'll tell you, when you need it, that's when it's going to take
place. Absolutely. Sure.
All my life as a kid, whenever there was a blackout and I went for the old-fashioned flashlights that took D or C cell batteries, they were dead.
Yeah.
Now I have those first alert ones plugged in on the wall where they're constantly charging. They're a nightlight, and if the power goes off, they're charged.
They're
they don't last that long,
Right.
They only last a couple of hours, but you know what? I have them.
It's right, and it works.
I have them, and plus I have like 8 Phoenix and Surefire lights laying around the house, and I have sleeves of AAA batteries, and I have sleeves of the other battery, the 123 battery, So I'm okay with that, And I also have solar chargers, crank chargers, You know how we accumulate stuff.
Yeah.
When Bob went to shoot in a 1,000-yard range that day, he had about 11 bags of stuff. It all could have fit in a U-Haul trailer. I did notice
prepared,
that.
Were we?
Yeah. But that's what we do here. So what other tips do you have, Bob? Tell us, because of your – how many years were you on the job?
I did 25 years.
God bless you.
You know, we just talked about it on a break. You know, if your dog's barking at night, pay attention to the dog. He's barking for a reason.
Yeah,
you know?
He's right.
Doing his job.
He's doing his job. Exactly. And everybody will say, quiet, quiet, and which is the wrong thing to do. You know, it's an interesting thing that happened one time. And I had Dean over. Anthony knows who I'm talking about.
Prism Electronics.
Came over and was redoing my alarm system. And one night in my studio, it's always in my studio, and Dean tipped it off. It was my laptop computer kept setting off the motion detector that was inside. Well, it always happens on very cold nights, and I guess it must click on, and just the heat passing by it set it off. The first time it happened, I was sitting, we have like a little sitting area off of our master bedroom, where the TV is. My wife was coming out of the shower. The alarm goes off. Boom. Now, all of a sudden, you're not prepared for any of this shit.
Uh-uh.
I've got my snubby on the bedside stand. I'm climbing over the top of the bed in my shorts.
Oh,
right?
Little Elvis wasn't out?
No, little Elvis wasn't out. Little Elvis just shrank right up.
There was shrinkage.
There was shrinkage. Amazing shrinkage. That pucker factor was there. And here comes my wife out of the shower going, what the hell is that noise?
Yeah.
And I'm like, get out of the way. And I'm pushing her out of the way. And it was literally... You realize how naked you are when you're coming down your stairs, clearing your house with a five-shot snubby and jockey shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And at that time, as I'm walking down the stairs, I'm wishing for a shotgun. I don't want that damn five-shot snubby.
Oh, I agree with that 100%.
It was, you just don't know what's going on. And then right away, then Anthony told me what shotgun to buy.
Colonel Cooper says that a handgun is to get you to your rifle.
I was just going to say that. My biggest thing I'll tell guys, I said handguns are convenient. We can conceal them easier. But I use my handgun to fight to my long gun.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
Right.
You know? Do you know, you talk about alarms going off. Mylar balloons will set off motion detectors on alarms.
Really?
Birthday balloons?
Yeah.
They're sitting stagnant, and then the HVAC goes on, and they move, and they set off motion detectors.
I see that.
Yeah, my alarm guy told me that. He goes, anytime you have a party or something, you got to get
rid
of the balloon.
Because of the reflectiveness of the balloon.
You got to get rid of the balloon.
Speaking of alarms, how many people actually test their system?
No.
Right, exactly, yeah.
How many people
set that thing off every once in a while?
How many people put a keypad in the bedroom so they can control the finish, so you can hit the emergency buttons,
Yeah.
And scare the shit out of people. It's amazing the little things that you can do to get to the next level and separate yourself from the guy next door. You know, like I was looking at condos and townhouses in Woodland Park, and I drove through one community, and there's about Uzzolino said there's, I think, 97 units, and I saw four of them had alarm placards and stickers on the window. So the other 93 are asking to be robbed.
Right exactly.
Okay? That's
now,
how
skip
I look,
this one,
that's
skip this
how
one,
I
skip
look
this
at
one.
It.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
how I look at it. If Bob and I are in our white van
right.
and we're going shopping today, we have 94 townhouses
yeah,
to
sure.
choose from.
Yeah.
But we're not going near those three. And those stickers could be fake, but why do we have to chance it?
Right.
And if the guy's savvy enough to have an alarm, he might have closed-circuit TV cameras, too.
Right.
So you know what? We're really going to stay away from those houses.
Yeah. I got a text message and a photo, attached photo, from a detective in town. They caught a serial burglar. And they had all
he was stealing like cornflakes and stuff.
Yeah, he was stealing cornflakes. And they had all this stuff that he had gotten over the. He kept it all in a storage shed or whatever.
He was a hoarder.
He was
a serial burglar.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
That's not smart.
He goes, check out the third picture. It's one of those freaking ADT signs. The asshole pulled off in the ground and he stole the ADT sign when he robbed the house.
Well, I would
and
do
I'm
that
like,
too.
I would too, just at a general
as a prank.
Sure.
Bob Prowse, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
He broke his cherry on the show today.
Yes,
so,
he did.
And we'll decide. We'll see how much he pays me for the 1,000-yard and the Ayuv encounter to see if he's going to be on the show again. What do I need? I think you need an honoraria or something. What do they call it?
An honorarium.
I need an honorarium.
I think I'm in debt.
Yes. I will be here the 12th for the Napin show, I believe. 4th, 11th. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. You're going to have to tape a show or something. And we have Quick Clot February 20th, Use of Force February 22nd, Prepping with James Hedham February 27th, CPR First Aid and AED February 28th, Urban Pistol 1 February 28th, Urban Carbine 1 February 21st. Bob Prowse will be involved in those classes, kicking your butt, guys and girls. Thank you again, Sandy, all yours.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Berardi. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Colandro, Bob Prowse, thank you so much for coming in and sharing the tidbits of wisdom. And I don't know if I want to go to a party with you and your wife. I might get my
You'll
teeth knocked out.
You
could lose a tooth. The rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio who puts up with us, and Winston the dog. Winston! There we go. All right, good guys, bad guys, stay away. We love you guys. See you next week.